I want to begin by saying that I was here Thursday to do, as Jules mentioned, a short video that I'm working on as a part of my Spirit Alive blog that I put out on local churches from time to time. And when I came in the building, I said, wow, to myself. And it took me a little while to share my excitement with Jules and Andy, but I hadn't been here in some time. And so when I came in, I noticed that there's no wall back there anymore. And so to myself, I said, wow. And I hadn't really noticed if they were here a year ago, Pentecost. I guess I've been here about a year ago plus, because it says the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And the last time I was in worship was at the end of May for Pentecost Sunday. So it's been more than a year since I've been here. So I didn't get a chance to really say wow about the pictures and the art that's on your walls and in this community. And I didn't get to say wow about the sanctuary and how it's changed. There's no pews here. Did you notice that? And there's carpet on the floor. And this place is open and new. And so I said wow to myself. And that was before Stephen and Stephanie had a chance to share on the video recording I was doing their sense of enthusiasm for this what are you calling it? Two churches, one congregation kind of thing going here. And so I got a chance to what's that?
A union church.
That's right, Leanne. So I didn't get a chance to say wow until I heard them both speak about that as I was recording. And that was all before I heard Jules and Andy share their answer to my first question, which was very simply kind of, what's happening here? We want to record that. And about 30 minutes later, I asked my second question. Do you know that they can get excited about things and kind of go together? Have you heard that happen with them before? You know, they get started and they talk with each other a bit. And for me, the wow in part is quite frankly this. You have two amazing pastors here. Do you know that?
Yeah.
You have two really amazing pastors here. And that is something to say wow about. Amen?
Amen?
So there's a lot of reasons to say wow about what you're doing here in this union, this two churches, one congregation thing, or whatever the Spirit's going to call it as it emerges in the future. So first of all, thank you for the invitation, Jules and Andy, to come here and share with you. But the truth of the matter is, I didn't come here simply to compliment you on what you're doing. There's a lot to celebrate, and I want to say that to you. But there's more of a message I also want to share. And I want to share that as it comes to us through Reggie McNeil's book, A Work of Heart, written a few years back, but still a classic. This is what Reggie McNeil said. Spiritual leadership is a work of heart. Spiritual issues are ultimately heart issues. Values, attitudes, convictions, motivations, beliefs, visions, hopes, dreams, ambitions. These are the things that people live and die for. These are the things that give meaning to life. These are the building blocks of legacy. They are far more enduring than wealth or fame. Heart decisions affect generations because they change people's lives. So what I want us to do this morning is to think about what Reggie McNeil tells us about spiritual leadership through the lens of what you're doing here with this experiment in these two congregations coming together as one church. Together, you've done a number of things: significant, meaningful, legacy-related decisions. You've come together to worship. You've decided to share this space, but to blend the best that you each have to offer each other, to become a new creation in Christ. You have dreams going on here, as McNeil says, as well as the work that becomes the hub of this community in terms of your activity. And you've caught the community's imagination if you haven't caught the news recently, because people are interested in what you're doing with the housing project. So a lot is going on in this place that has to do with the ambitions, the hopes, the dreams, and the legacy that you will leave as a result of those hopes and dreams. Others are taking notice of the fruit of your lives. But here's the thing. It actually begins with heart, not fruit. It's actually the heart of the matter that makes the fruit of the matter possible. And McNeil says it's a work of heart. That's what spiritual leadership is all about. So now you have become a new creation in Christ through the heart work that you've done and the fruit that is being born as a result of it. In Acts 11:26, it says what happens when these kinds of decisions, these kinds of ambitions, these kinds of dreams become reality in a Christian community. Luke says in Acts these words, "And it came about that for an entire year they," meaning Barnabas and Paul, "met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." I would contend that what you're up to here is an Antioch kind of thing. This is an Antioch moment for North Portland through your coming together because of your heart work and the fruit that comes as a result of it. Robert Kennedy, some time back, said these words that seem like they are a part of what we're talking about as well. Kennedy said, "Each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he or she sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, these ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance." A ripple that starts with the heart. That's what happens when the heart becomes alive. A ripple naturally flows out of it. It's almost like the heart is beating and pumping, and the blood and the flow that comes from the heart becomes the fruit of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, people say, "That is the church. These people are Christ followers. They're Christians." And that's what's happening here. These small but bold actions make a difference in the world, and the world is noticing what you're doing. But ultimately, it's a matter of your heart, not simply a matter of the fruit. And Jesus says as much, and I want to reference it in two different occasions. He says in John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this love, they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But it's about more than coming into a building and loving one another. It's also about going out as a result of that love for one another. And then Jesus says this, and he responds to the teacher with the great commandment. When the lawyer asks him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, soul, and body. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And that is the heart of the matter. That's the very heart of the matter. To love one another, to love God, and to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. So in our reading this morning, I chose the message intentionally because it's a little bit different. You know, I mean, Eugene Peterson does this all the time. He says the words were familiar to us, but he says them just a little bit differently. And these are the Beatitudes, but they don't sound exactly like we're familiar to hear them. And it's important that we think about that this morning because it's fairly early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has come and he's taught his followers. He's been tempted. He's begun to speak about what God's kingdom is about, and people have drawn near and want to be a part of understanding what that kingdom is about. And then he says, what is the blessed life really about? And this is what he says. He says that God's blessing in life is about not giving up, even when you feel like you want to. He says the blessed life is about being at peace with who you are so that you can develop an appetite and an attitude toward God. He says that a blessed life is about caring and getting your heart right with God. And then he says a blessed life is about cooperating with others, about becoming neighbors and showing up in community with each other. That's what a blessed life is about. And in the end, when your heart is right, you become salt. You become salt for the world because your heart is right. And then he goes on to say, and when your heart is right, you become light for the world because others want to see who God is, and the light that you shine becomes the path. It's about your fruit, but it's first about your heart. The fruit of our lives follows these things, not the other way around. So friends, what I want to say this morning is when I came here on Thursday and when I followed your journey from afar and participated in, as Jewel said, in some different ways, you're about two key things that I think are very important for this community and for the larger community that you're a part of. First, you can make a difference in the lives of those around you, in the margins of society especially, and you've chosen to do that. The Bold Housing Project is an example of that. But also your desire to make this building, this space, your community, the hub of the larger community. And that's an amazing thing. People are yearning for that, but your heart has to be right first for that to happen. And the other thing that you're doing here that I think is quite remarkable is you know that people are interested in this question. How can people come together from different beliefs and backgrounds and come together in union to form something new? That's an extraordinary thing today, don't you think? I mean, all the time people are saying, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, except for on this, so I'm not with you anymore. And you've chosen a different path. You've said, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. You know, we aren't exactly the same. But that's okay. Because I'd rather be with you than walk away. But your heart has to be right in order for that to happen. The truth is, everything matters. Absolutely everything matters. It matters how we greet each other, as we did this morning. It matters who we pay attention to or not. It matters if we're willing to include others in our lives or not. Everything matters. Everything matters. And when your heart is right, you see that. Martin Luther King said it this way: our lives end at the moment in which we don't speak out for things that matter. Our lives end at the moment we cease speaking out on things that matter. That's a heart question. That's a heart question. When our hearts are right, we speak out. When our hearts are right, we build housing. When our hearts are right, we form community. When our hearts are right, we meet neighbors, even if we don't know them. When our hearts are right, unions happen. When our hearts are right, and the fruit will follow. You know what others notice is our good works, often, our demonstrations of God's love. But it all starts here. It starts here. It starts at the heart of the matter. And that's why today I wanted to take us back to the Beatitudes of Jesus, because early in his ministry, he's already starting to bear fruit. But he's sitting down with all the followers and he's saying, you know what? In order for the fruit to continue to flow, your heart has to be right. You have to know that you're already blessed. And then you have to become the light and the salt in the world. So if we get that message right, the fruit will indeed come. If the heart is right, the fruit will come. If the heart is right, the fruit will come. So as I close, what I want to say very clearly is, pay attention to the heart. Get the heart right. Get the heart right. Because as people of faith, it is indeed our most precious resource. And the fruit will come. Amen.